So nice to have you back, Dimitri, on this podcast.
Good to be with you.
Let's get started with the current policy of Russia in Ukraine. Do you find right now, in your opinion, after the Kursk incursion happening, right now Russia is changing their attitude, is changing their mind? Because right after this incursion, they were talking about that there is no possibility of having any sort of negotiations. But right now, do you feel that they want to change it? They want to negotiate if somebody is willing in the West to negotiate with them?
Russia has always been willing to negotiate, provided that the negotiations have a reasonable starting out point, which is that the Ukraine cannot be in NATO. The Ukraine has to be demilitarized. The Ukraine has to be denazified. It cannot be hostile to Russia. The territories that are already constitutionally part of Russia have to remain part of Russia because there is no mechanism for which they can be unmade. With each successive victory that Russia is scoring against the Ukraine, the Ukrainian position is getting worse and worse. The Russians, they never proposed the same thing twice. If you fail to accede to their requirements, then the next set of requirements is going to be harsher. So basically what the Russians are doing is what the Russians have been doing consistently. And whoever thinks that something has changed because of Kursk or because of anything else, as far as their requirements, you know, they don't actually see the picture.
And do you see this attack on the Kursk region just changing the nature of the conflict, or the situation in the Kursk region is under the control of the Russian government? They can just control it and go on with their offensive beyond Donbass.
Well, the nature of the conflict was changed because previously the Russians intervened in the Ukraine to protect the human rights of its Russian-speaking majority against these Nazis from the west of the country that had taken over with the help of the United States. Now that the Nazis have attacked...
Dimitri, we are having some sort of issue with your voice. It seems that you are having some noises coming into... And could you talk about... Yeah, it comes again. I don't know what's going on.
Hold on. There's jackhammering happening outside that I can't do anything with, but I can move away from it, maybe.
It's not that. No, it's not the noise from outside. It's your voice. Whenever you start talking, it makes some sort of... Yeah. Let's try it again.
Does it sound better now?
Better.
Okay, so it is background noise. Give me a second to set up the tripod here.
Okay.
I'll be with you in a second.
Okay.
You never know when they'll start jackhammering. There's a lot of construction going on in St. Petersburg right now. All right. How's this? Any better?
Yeah, we are having the same issue, Dimitri. I don't know.
Really?
Yeah.
So the sound quality is no good?
No, it's not good. Yeah.
Okay. Well, forget this StreamYard thing. It just won't work for us. So yeah, let's cut it short.
Just log out and log in and let's see if we can solve it. We're gonna be back in a minute. Yeah. Unpredictable.
Any better?
Better, better, much better.
Oh, okay. This technology you're using is just, it's ghetto. It's probably the way to describe it. It's glued together by some monkeys.
Let's go on with the answer. The current policy of Russia. You were talking about how Russia going to manage the Kursk region right now and goes beyond the with this attack, goes beyond Donbass region. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Well, the fact that the Ukrainians decided to attack the Russian territory more or less on the on a major anniversary of the of a major battle with Nazi Germany that took place in the Kursk region and was a major Russian victory that paved the way to Nazi Germany's complete destruction, awakened a lot of memories amongst the Russian population. First of all, now they're absolutely clear that what they're doing in battling the Ukrainian Nazis is defending the motherland. It's not some foreign adventure. There's no the criticism that this is some sort of a foreign intervention no longer has any role to play whatsoever. And a lot of Russian men have decided to just go and volunteer and help the cause. And of course, you know, the first task is to kick the Ukrainians out of Kursk. But this is made rather difficult because the Ukrainians keep throwing more and more troops at Kursk, and they keep dying, and they keep losing everything that they invade with, and then they do it again. So we're up to 40,000 Ukrainians dead in Kursk just over the past month. And since it's the Americans running the show, and since the Americans don't really care how many Ukrainians die, they can keep doing this until the Ukraine runs out of Ukrainians. And such are the specifics of Ukrainian society that the Ukrainians don't care about dead Ukrainians either. These are people who really, really don't care about each other, or they wouldn't allow their country to become such a basket case and such an American lackey. So I think that Kursk is going to bleed because the Russian military has decided that it's a really good place to destroy lots and lots of NATO military hardware and to kill lots and lots of Ukrainian soldiers. And in the meantime, on the other front, there's a lot of progress being made by the Russian army. And what will probably happen, a lot of people are saying...
We're having the issue again.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. Yeah.
So the sound quality is no good?
Right now it's good.
Okay. Well, I don't know what to do about it. We're at the mercy of the steam yard.
When you continue talking, the noise is getting more and more coming to the mic. I don't know what's going on. And maybe, do you have some sort of techniques to put it on if we can stop it? I don't know.
No, I don't think it. I tried all sorts of things, but with StreamYard, there's just really no options.
Okay. Go ahead. Let's see if...
Well, if it's torture for the listeners, then we probably shouldn't do it this way.
Yeah, if it comes again, we can just put an end to this talk. I think the noise is so strong, and I don't know. So...
Okay, well, the last point that I wanted to make was that now that Russia has amassed quite a bit of military might in Kursk and is currently in no hurry to use it except to force the Ukrainians to bleed as much as possible. But at some point, there'll be a rout. At some point, the Ukrainians will run out of Ukrainians. And then the Russian troops will advance, but they won't stop at the border at Kursk, because why waste the effort of amassing this military strike force if you aren't going to also take over Sumy and Kiev region? And I think on the Ukrainian side, they're getting the hint. So the fact that a large chunk of the Ukrainian government just resigned is a sign that the rats are abandoning the sinking ship. And there's an interesting characteristic to the people who resigned. The people who resigned are the useless people, the people who are just basically there to absorb public funds, but they actually don't do anything. But the people who actually do something that the Americans can directly order around, they can't quit. If they quit, they'll resign via the morgue, because their handlers will kill them. And so Zelensky and his closest henchmen do have to stick around. They can't just get on a jet and go to Miami or whatever. That's not going to work for them. But that's what it's looking like.
Yeah. And do you feel right now the way that in the Zelensky administration we are witnessing that his foreign minister just resigned, and how does the United States, how do you find their attitude in Ukraine? Do you think they're capable of controlling the situation? Because the situation is totally getting out of hand. Right now we've had Zelensky together with Sersky on CNN and NBC. They were talking to, in my opinion, mostly to the Westerners to talk to them. We can do the fight right now. We can continue this fight. But we know what's happening. On the other hand, with all these problems that they're having within the Zelensky administration, do you think that the United States is trying to give them some, I don't know, to increase their morale in this fight? Or they're trying to make a new administration in Ukraine? Because his foreign minister was not something, he was so important, he was so close to Antony Blinken. That's why I think it's a huge deal when it comes to the Zelensky administration, not to the whole situation.
You're talking about Dmitry Kuleba. In Russia they call him Kuleba of foreign relations, since he's not a minister. Since there's no government in the Ukraine, they're just a bunch of American puppets. So he's not a minister of anything. So his actual official title is Kuleba of Foreign Relations. And now he's not even of foreign relations anymore. He's just plain old Kuleba. And he's probably going to join his family abroad. I think the whole trick with the Ukrainians is they have to amass a bit of a fortune in order to pay their way out of the country at this point. So I think his resignation indicates that he actually can bribe his way out. And that's what he probably will end up doing. And his replacement is, I think it's, I'm bad with their names because... you know, it doesn't matter who they are or who they say they are, but Sibega, I think, is last name. So Sibega is kind of like a fatter, stupider Kuleba. And he's just a stooge who's going to sit in Kuleba's chair for a little while. I think they think that there's still some money that they can steal. So it's like sloppy last bit that they think they can't get at somehow before they flee the country. But that must be their plan. You know, it's not like they can actually achieve anything. As far as the American angle, well, the Americans are very much Ukrainianized at this point. You know, as Nietzsche said, if you gaze into an abyss long enough, the abyss gazes back at you. Well, the Americans have spent quite a while gazing into the abyss that is the Ukraine. And it's now saturated American Washington environment with its horrible vapors, so that now they have no choice but to talk up this Ukrainian fiasco and to pretend that there's some kind of hope there in something. So, okay, so they can't defend their territory that used to be theirs. Their attack on Kursk is a fundamental failure, a spectacular failure. Their whole campaign is negative advertising for NATO weaponry, most of it American made. So what else can they do? They can lob missiles at Russia, and lo and behold, it turns out they're very good at shooting down these missiles. So that'll be more negative advertising for NATO missiles. What can they really do? They have to keep the Ukraine looking like it's alive until the election, because for the regime in Washington, a complete fiasco in the Ukraine would make very bad optics heading into the election and would underscore the failure of the Biden administration. And so they're trying to do something to keep up appearances, but that's all they can do.
Yeah, you are having all sorts of noises, Dmitry. I don't know what's going on, and it seems that there is nothing that we can do. Let's put an end to this talk, because the voice that is coming is full of noises, and I think it's so. It's not possible to continue it, Dmitry.
Okay. Well, Zoom is very good technology. StreamYard is not. That's my conclusion.
Thank you so much, Dmitry. So sorry, okay. Guys, for being... we cannot do anything about it, right?
I have a good microphone. I can record anything I want, and the quality is good, but this
I don't know what's going on. Whenever you start talking, a lot of noise coming in, and yeah.
I have no idea. All right. Well, goodbye then.
Bye-bye. So sorry, guys, and we have to put an end to this talk. Thank you so much for being with us.